Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
So we're going to talk about the search for significance. And we're talking about significance. Some of it is, you know, what is my personal worth in the church? What motivates me to be a part of the family of God? And who am I really trying to please? Am I trying to get man's approval or God's approval? And that's probably one of the greatest keys in having true durability. You know, Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." So you have to have some spiritual stamina to finish this race. There's going to be a lot of, you know, religiously false rest areas and places where you can just camp out and kind of get humanistically satisfied. But when you are driven by something different, when you're motivated by something different, and I think that's what we want to talk about, that will circumvent generational gaps and bring every generation together. Because while there are differences in generations, there are common threads that don't change. And one of them is when you have a faith and a belief system in your relationship with God. The greatest thing that gives me significance in the kingdom of God is my relationship with Him. That's the greatest thing. This says healing is so hard because it is a constant struggle between your inner child that is scared and just wants safety, your inner teenager who is angry and just wants justice, and your current self who is tired and just wants peace. Now, that's secular perspective. If you've heard the word ontology or something that's ontological, or when you get into existentialism or nihilism, there are all these big fancy words to describe a generation of hopelessness. And so secularly, it is easy to focus on all these things that seemingly cannot change. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is the choice. Because I believe that when you understand the power of the choice, it is part of what brings significance in the kingdom of God. You're not being made to do something. And I think that's a freeing concept when you realize that you're not chained to these seats unless you're under 18. You do have parental demands, but we're not just going to get into that. When you realize I'm not just doing what I'm doing out of obligation. I'm not just doing what I'm doing because I'm being made to do it. I'm not just doing what I'm doing because I have a fear of punishment. That's very elementary. In fact, if that's all you have in your religious understanding of God, then you really are still trapped within the confinement of law, because the law is made for lawless, and the law is what breeds guilt. In the kingdom of God, with a relationship with God, when you make a choice, when you decide you're going to live for Him, regardless of what the world says, regardless of your family upbringing, regardless of your environment, regardless of your background, regardless of your ethnicity or any of the barriers of society that exist, when you have that determination that I'm going to have a relationship with God, there's a power in that choice. There is significance found in that choice. Because sometimes you need to remind the enemy when you're at your lowest, nobody made me do this. I choose the Lord. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to serve Him. This might not be a very good day, but I'm not throwing in the towel just because I'm having a bad day. I still choose to go to church, and I choose to worship Him, and I choose to be called one of His own. So there's power in that. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. This is Joshua. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, what does he say? Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was a conscientious choice. He was not going to live by guilt in fear of the law or punishment. Joshua was one of those who lived with the promise in view. Joshua was one of those that said, I'm going to have conviction, not just guilt. I'm going to do what I do because I know what the Lord can do. And I have a relationship with him. And so this is how I'm going to lead my house, bring up my house, bring up my children. And these are the things that we're going to do to be pleasing to the Lord. See, choice gives you significance. And the fact that you can choose to serve the Lord is an empowerment of love. You choose to serve the Lord because faith, force, and faith cannot occupy the same devotion. When done by faith, the will of man is willingly subject to the will of God. There are some things that require discipline, but when you have a desire to please the Lord, there is no greater incentive than to know I have a relationship with God. The fact that you can choose to serve the Lord shows an empowerment of love. And when you realize what you can do out of the love of God, I used this example in Bible Hour the other day, but there's a difference between what you do just because of law and what you do because you've been affected and influenced by the grace of God and a relationship with God and a love relationship that you have with that God. So this simple example was, I don't want to get pulled over for speeding on an elementary level because I don't want a ticket. Anybody else feel the same way? So you push it to the limits of what we think we can get by with. I think through this zone, I can probably go 5 to 7 miles over the speed limit. But I don't want to get pulled over for a speeding ticket. Now, see, that's mere law. That's fear of punishment. But the example I used was, what if I'm driving through a neighborhood where I know there's little children playing? Now I conscientiously slow down and creep through the neighborhood because it has nothing to do with the law. It has to do with my care and concern for little children playing on the street. That's a different incentive. It has something altogether to do with compassion and care and love for others. And when you get a relationship with God, when you understand the power of choice, I choose this lifestyle. That becomes a liberating revelation, child of God. And for every new disciple, when you start looking at a revelation of standards that we live by and holiness that we live by and the biblical teaching of what modesty is all about and what it means for a man to look like a man and for a woman to look like a woman and how you are to behave in these gender distinctives, you begin to go beyond religious obligation and you begin to choose to do things out of spiritual opportunity. And that's an empowering thing when you look at what God can do for you in his word and through a relationship with him. Now, let's look at one of the most powerful stories in the Old Testament. Ruth 1:11 said, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, and why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb than they may be, that they may be your husbands? As you know, they married two husbands, the Moabites. They died. And now Naomi's heading back to the promised land. She's lived in Moab for a number of years. And she's telling her daughters, turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband, and if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them until they could be your husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice, and they wept again. And Orpah, she kissed her, and the Bible says then that she left, and she went her way. And the Bible said Ruth clave unto her. Now look at what she says. Naomi's still trying to get rid of her. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister. And look what Ruth said. There are six distinctive things in the power of choice that's revealed here in Ruth's statement. She said, entreat me not to leave or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Wherefore thou diest, will I die, there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Number one, Ruth made a choice. She made a choice. She was not forced to go back, nor was she forced to go to a strange land with Naomi. She made a choice. We need some Ruth durability in this generation and in this hour. We need some Ruth commitment, and you can have that when you understand where your real significance comes from. When your real significance comes from a relationship with God, these are the kind of choices you're going to make. You're going to have the inspiration of Ruth in your spirit. You're saying, nobody's making me do this, but I want to go to the altar. Nobody's making me do this, but I want to worship God and I want to serve him. Number two, she refused rejection. In other words, we live in a generation that's very easy to use the rejection excuse. Or you've heard me teach this before, but there's a difference between the because excuse and the become revelation. Because I wasn't given this, or because I wasn't raised a certain way, or because I didn't have the job or the education opportunity that someone else had, I will never be. I can never become. Well, that's not true in the kingdom of God, because he gives you, as Sister Hood read earlier, he gives you the ability to become things you could never be on your own, that you could have never been before you met the Lord. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're doing things for the kingdom of God tonight that you would have never dreamed you could be doing 10 years ago. It's because you've been transformed by the power of the Spirit. So you don't say because, you say become. If I don't have it right now, I'll get it later. If that's not what I am now, that's what I will become. See, in the world, we use excuses like because, if, and never. But in the kingdom of God, we say become now and by the will of God. We know that it's the will of God for us to prosper. So she refused rejection when she said, entreat me not to leave thee. She didn't turn it into a pity party or a moment of contention where she would bitterly walk away. She didn't let rejection have a course. That's not going to be my path. I'm not going to make 1,000 excuses. Because when you have a relationship with God, you don't need excuses. You have what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Number three, she picked a path. She got rid of the confusion. She didn't vacillate. She didn't go back and forth. She wasn't backslid one week and living for God on fire the next week. You know why folks do that? Because they don't have a real revelation of a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you can backslide one week and be on fire the next week, Pentecost is just a religion to you. But when you get a deep-seated relationship with God and you find your significance and purpose in that, there's nothing that can keep you away from the presence of the Lord. Faithfulness becomes like a secondary instinct. Just showing up and knowing that I want to be in the presence of the Lord and I want to be in attendance. It isn't just about obligation now. It's because I have a deep-seated desire to be in his presence. And I know that I'm going to receive something when I get in his presence. So she picked a path. She said, whither thou goest, I will go. How many got that kind of made-up mind with the Lord? Wherever you go, Lord, that's where I'm going. Number four, she picked a home. She said, where you lodge, I will lodge. Every choice that Ruth made led her to get closer to God. See the power of choice? When you understand where real significance comes from, significant comes in a relationship with God where your choices are determined by what improves that relationship, not by what makes you better or look better in a religion. What's going to give me a better appearance to people? Because that fades with time. If I live only to be a man pleaser, that will fade, that vacillates. They'll be for you today and against you tomorrow. But God is not that way. As Bishop told us on Sunday, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. You're not alone in the valley. You're not alone in success or in failure. You're not alone in the daytime or in the dark. He is always with us. So she picked a home and she said, rejection, failure, shame, loss, loneliness, all of these things could have driven her away. She could have been sitting on a bar stool singing the blues, drinking whatever they drink. But she said, I'm going to lodge where you lodge. I don't know if it'll be a fancy house or a little old poor tent out in the desert, but it didn't make any difference. Because she determined she was going to have a different destiny. She wasn't going to look at all the reasons why she could walk away and run away and not live for God and not go this route. She picked a home. She said, you're going to be my family. And many of you understand this. You understand when you first came to God, some of you may be suffering it right now, that when you chose to live for God, it caused you some pain in your own family. It caused you to have rejection. And you made a decision, I'm not going back to Moab. Not going back to worldly thinking. If my worldly family rejects me, then I choose the Naomi family. I choose the family of God. I choose the family of the promised land. I choose the congregation of the righteous. I have my spiritual brothers and sisters if my biological family refuses me. Isn't that a great comfort in the kingdom of God? Number five, she adapted to a new people. She said, thy people shall be my people. This is what's powerful, because I think this is what speaks to a multi-ethnic church like we have. It doesn't matter what land you come from, doesn't matter what background or ethnicity you come from. When you're talking about getting into the kingdom of God, the scripture is just as, it's the equalizer to everyone when it says whosoever will. When it talks about to the Jew first and then to the Greek, that was just at the outset, because the Jews had to be given the gospel first. But it wasn't out of prejudice. It was because they were supposed to be the carriers of the promise to the world. This is why by the end of Acts 28, Paul is frustrated with the stubborn Jews that won't get it. And they continue to fight him with their wrong Judaism and Mosaic understanding of the law and their rejection of Christ. So he says, I will turn to the Gentiles. If you're not going to be a part of this carrying it to the world, then we'll just go to the world and the Gentiles will have a revival. And they did. And so Ruth, being a Moabite, she said, I don't care. Your people will be my people. Isn't that great? I would to God we could get a spirit in us that would say, you can't run me off. I'm family. I'm the annoying brother or sister that's going to stick around. Somebody's going to like me. And that's true. And then number six, this statement here that really gave her a pledge unto death was she worshiped the revelation of one God. She said, thy God be my God. All of this showing us steps of the human will when you make the choice to serve God. You come to this place where you say, I'm going to be a worshiper of the one true God. And as we know, Ruth becomes a part of the ancestral lineage of the Messiah himself. She would be the great grandmother of David, the king of Israel. to whom the scripture says, Jesus, the son of David. Ruth didn't know that when she was out there on that windy day with blowing sand around, walking away from a desolate area in Moab. She didn't know that. She didn't know this was going to be the destination. But because she made a choice, her destiny changed. I want to tell every one of you, it doesn't matter what generation you're in, from the youngest to the oldest, God's not finished with you. If he is finished with you, he'd gone ahead and let you be in the cemetery. But he's not finished with you. And as long as you have breath, you're a worshiper. And as long as you have breath, you're a witness. And as long as you have breath, you're significant in the kingdom of God, because you still have a testimony worth telling, and you still have some lives that you can touch with that testimony. John 666. This is what I call the mark of the backslider. 666. Revelation 13 and 18 is the mark of the beast. Isn't it amazing? It's 13 because they're going to believe in the one and the three instead of the three and the one. That's 13. And then 18 is 666. Six times three is 18. Just a little peculiar math. That's the mark of the beast. This is the mark of the backslider, because after Jesus has ministered to them about flesh and blood and what it's going to take up your cross and follow after him, the Bible said from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. See, they wanted the sensational. They didn't want a relationship. They wanted signs and wonders and miracles. They didn't want a relationship. They wanted him to wave a magic wand and take care of their diseases and afflictions, but they did not want a relationship. See, when you have a relationship, you don't just take the good. You're willing to endure the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're willing to go through whatever you have to go through because you're kin to the king. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. How encouraging it must have been for Jesus in that moment. Remember, he was human. He had divine foreknowledge, but he had human emotion. And in this moment of human emotion, when he's watching people walk away from him, that he just fixed their hearing and opened their eyes for some of them and healed their family members. They walk away at the first sign of trouble or conflict. It was discouraging to him. And yet Peter says, where are we going to go? We don't have any other options. You know why? Because that was a little glimpse of the relationship the disciples were truly going to have with him. You have the words of eternal life. So what keeps you? Why are you here? What is the deepest sense of satisfaction in your walk with God? There's a simple answer to all three questions. My relationship with him. My relationship with him. Again, not just a religious understanding, not just an educational perspective, not just a historical observation of who he is, but I have a relationship with him that is intimately growing. Everything else comes from that. Gifts, knowledge, abilities, equipping, endurance, it all comes from this one focal point. If I have a relationship with God, nothing else can persuade me. I'm already fully persuaded. See, when you're fully persuaded, that means you've not left any room to be deceived. Paul said, I'm fully persuaded in Romans 8, that neither death nor life nor principalities or powers, and he went through a whole list of things that couldn't separate us from the love of Christ. Why? Fully, not partially. I haven't left any room for the world to come in and take advantage of me at a vulnerable moment. I'm fully persuaded, fully persuaded. Again, because you have this deep relationship with the Lord. And so we look here at scriptures like this. This says in Proverbs 3:31, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. I thought this was curious. The Hebrew word there for oppressor is a masculine noun meaning violence, wrong. It implies cruelty, damage, injustice. And it gives you different examples. And then the one that we have here in Proverbs 3:31, when it describes a person, it can mean an oppressor or a violent man.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.